Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Feast Pod with your host, Dr. Frankfurter. I'm Neil Utrom Foster. Feast Pod Radio is brought to you by Run Infectator Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly not want.
Okay, I was cutting it close this week. Hey, Neil, how you doing?
I don't like being at the way. You really need to be on time, Shredder.
Crying, I was on time. I had to take a dump before the show started.
Excuses. Taking a dump not gonna let you eat those turtles any quicker.
You know, Neil, I'll honestly say you were way better than the guy they got to do Krang in the Turtles Forever movie.
I think they got the guy off the street.
Well, it is four kids. So most likely it took a homeless person to beat them, then had them record.
Like Lisa Ortiz.
Okay, since last week, Neil, we were talking about the cartoon, and we talked a little bit about the first movie.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, can you hear me good?
Yeah.
Okay, since then, I went ahead and watched the second movie, and I watched the 2007 animated movie.
Didn't you skip one?
Yes, I did. I'm not going to watch Ninja Turtles 3 by myself. And I'm not going to subject two small children to it.
I'm pretty sure they'll like it.
I'm not taking that chance, Neil. I've already traumatized Connor once this week.
I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay. But anyway, the second movie, I got into an argument with a friend of mine. Well, it wasn't a real argument. We had a disagreement about two. He still liked it. I hated it. Upon rewatching it, if you're comparing it directly to the first movie, it's not good. It doesn't hold up well. But on its own, it's a fine Ninja Turtles movie.
That's like what happened when we had the whole John Romita quarrel thing.
What now?
Remember when they said I'm not really a fan of John Romita Jr. And unfortunately, one of the things I said was exactly why I didn't like John Romita Jr. was that he wasn't as good as John Romita Sr.
And I told you, I said, yeah, no, they're most artists. That's some good fucking company.
It's in like a 98% top.
Now, Neil, since we had the show last week, you watched the first two sets again.
Well, I kind of seen number one a lot. I've been watching a lot of number volume two. I wish I could find volume three and four. It's so funny how quickly
What did you think of them?
It's so funny how quickly they go against everything that was in the miniseries.
It kind of happens gradually.
I always wondered if there's like a checklist of which episodes they had to do for a kid's show. Like, okay, we gotta have the machines going rampant. We gotta do the shrinking episode. We need to do
and the growing episode. The second volume did have a few very good episodes.
Which ones are those in your mind?
Enter the Fly.
Yeah.
When Baxter Stockman transformed, that was the one at the end of the episode when Splinter came out of the junkyard driving the turtle van, shooting a machine gun.
Yeah. Also, they made it seem like Baxter died at the end.
Baxter Stockman is a very tragic character in the series because he just wanted to kill rats. He never seemed particularly evil. And then he got transformed to a fly. Mind you, Krang was very cold-blooded in this episode.
Do you want to explain it? And the fact is that he's done worse things in early episodes to get him this rap, and then this episode's like, oh, he accidentally malfunctioned his little machine.
Yeah, it's a trickle-down.
On top of the
it's basically a trickle-down effect. But the thing with dang it.
What?
No, but the thing was, Shredder sent him off to Dimension X, along with a few flies that came. They got, he put them on a garbage barge. And Krang's like, put him in the incinerator. Yo, we don't need that garbage. Kill him. How do you say it, Neil?
I'm just taking out the tray. Krang, you cannot, you cannot solve all your problems just by disintegrating him.
Sounds like a rock soldier that probably needs disintegration.
Okay, we got a caller. Let me patch him in.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, so you're talking about Baxter Stockman? Stockman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really sympathetic to him also. I don't know why. He was a sympathetic villain, even though he went kind of crazy.
Of course, I figure once he gets back, I think he wants to talk about the Rat King, who came in a little bit later.
Yes. I was also a fan of the Rat King.
Especially since we saw an episode where the Rat King just basically stole... He wasn't in the episode, then suddenly he just stole a pizza from April O'Neil because Shredder was trying to track them using the pizza. It's like you get to see where Rat King's living in. He's just got a little tiny table with all this rat and this terrible, terrible pizza.
Don't mind if I do. I always like a band of pet mozzarella.
The host died.
Oh, the host died?
We're going to have to wait for while he comes back. Anyway, let's see what to talk about. Let's see. Should we talk about some of the games?
The only really game I played is the arcade game and the NES game.
Oh, the first NES game?
Yes.
Did you ever get past the damn stage without having to cheat?
Actually, I don't remember much about the games in so long ago.
Most people generally died at the damn stage.
Yes. Yeah, arcade game, that was the super popular one everyone played at birthday parties.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I don't think you ever played the sequel arcade, Turtles in Time, did you?
No, I did not.
Did you ever have an arcade machine of it?
I don't think so.
Okay, because the only one we had was at our little local water park. So I was able to play it a little bit, but then they basically made the Super Nintendo version, which is, aside from a few little things, it's basically a much better adaptation of the second arcade game, because it adds more stages and more enemies. Because for some reason, they don't even have the little... You remember the roadkill Rodneys, the little drill things that send little electric... whips.
Yes.
They didn't even have that in the sequel. They just had these little goofy robots with punching bags. Well, punching gloves and everything.
That was the era of beat up arcade games where you would spin levels fighting people at Foot Clan and then fight Foot Clan members in slightly different colors.
Yeah. I did like
I guess they were like, oh, we're out of this color, you have to wear this color, I'm coming later.
Okay, the foot soldiers that throw the bombs get to wear yellow. The ones that have the swords, you get to like the light blue.
Yeah.
Or is that the white ones? It's hard to tell when you're playing like the NES one. I think they had to trim some of the colors. What was nice about the third Nintendo game, the NES one, is that they basically took the arcade game and just kind of expanded a little bit on it by having Manhattan floating in the sky. And I believe it's the only game where it has all three of the... mutant duos. It has Bebop, Rocksteady, Toka, Razor, and even Groundchuck and Dirtbag.
Yes. Yeah. When you first saw
episode even has that one.
You first saw the movie, did you wondering why like Bebop and Rocksteady weren't there, or were you really rare about the comic or something?
I kind of found the comic since we were able to find a little colorized collected graphic novels of them. And I kind of understood, saying, yeah, they're probably not going to have Bebop and Rocksteady. So, actually, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, boy, new mutants fit in the fight. even though they're basically just kind of Bebop and Rocksteady analogs, and that's even dumber.
Yeah, that's why I really understand. It's like, why don't they just have Bebop and Rocksteady? And also the fact that the Foot Clan aren't robots.
Yeah.
Like, wow, they're actual people?
Yeah. Well, when you grow up, you figure out, like, oh, that's why, so they can actually, you know, fight them without, you know, blood shooting everywhere, like in the comic.
Yeah, so it's actually, how does Krang must have a big budget if you can make all these Foot Clan that get easily destroyed to go attack robots, and that's...
I don't think they really have money in Dimension X. They basically have, they have a cloning machine. They showed that in one of the episodes, where they're just able to clone Mouser somehow or replicate them. So
I want to learn more about
Dimension
X. You didn't really know that much about it in the cartoon, just that it's where the Technodrome is, and Krang sometimes talks to General Trag, was his name or something?
Yeah, it's the Rock Soldier.
Talks to
by the
action figure of, yes.
I don't
What's
know why
it like there? What
for some reason, it didn't have
like
Triceratons. Do you remember the Triceratons?
What was that again?
Do you remember the Triceratons? It's the alien Triceratops people.
I think so. A little bit.
Yeah. They never had them until the 2003 cartoon series.
Interesting that the Rat King is the only villain in an old cartoon that's not really affiliated with Shredder.
I'm trying to think. Right. I think they threw in other villains later on that had nothing to do with Shredder, but they were just kind of
the later seasons.
I think
yeah.
Leatherhead kind of worked on his own, but he's okay.
Yeah, Leatherhead.
Who knows if they tried to make Mondo Sicko a villain or not?
Who be talking about old Leatherhead here? I guarantee.
You're back.
My dang old laptop got overheated. I guarantee.
Well, that's what you get for...
Oh, that's what you get for living in the bayou. I ain't gonna be talked to by no big brain.
Did Gambit know Leatherhead?
Actually, that's what I was thinking. It's like, no, I can listen. I'd always want to hear Leatherhead be Gambit.
Was Leatherhead a member of the Caesar of the Assassins?
Oh, the Assassins.
Assassins! We have better than you, less thieves, because I don't...
Okay. What were y'all talking about during my absence?
Most of it was just the video games, but we talked a little bit about some of the extra stuff from the show, like we started a little bit of it ahead, and Mondo Gecko and Poker and Razor.
They've had a few times these episodes where the turtles are just fighting gangsters. And these episodes are always boring. There's this one episode where Donatello was taken hostage by hillbillies who stole the turtle van and were driving around town, and I kept waiting for Shredder to turn up. Neil, did you talk about the Corporate Raiders from Dimension X episode?
No, not the Corporate Raiders. We did talk about a little bit of General Trag. Is he tied in with them?
No, don't you remember the one with the businessmen?
Oh, the one where they had the mind control thing, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most politically charged episodes of the cartoon.
And it's like, we need a human. Well, we can't use April, she's too recognizable. Well, we do know one other human, so they get Casey Jones, and he's wearing a business suit, but he still has the golf bag with all the weapons and the hockey mask. And Casey keeps getting promoted.
Look at that, I can't get a fight out of this job.
Yeah, speaking of Casey, I was reading I read the first Rat King comic this week. And I like the part when the rats are in there, and Casey Jones picks up a rat and airballs it.
Rat King doesn't necessarily have to be evil. He just seems to be that way. He gets to be a guy who hangs out in the sewers with rats.
Yeah. He comes across as being more insane than anything.
He's like the version of Punisher that some people think Punisher is, isn't he?
Punisher's not
like some people think. It's like the shooting Jaywalkers Punisher.
Well, they actually ended up explaining that in issue of in the Punisher miniseries that he had been drugged. During his stay in prison, that his one of his enemies, Jigsaw, put something to make him psychotic, like really psychotic. So he was going around just shooting jaywalkers. And
Because Punisher used to be more crazy when he started or something, when he was shooting jaywalkers.
Well, initially he was more of he was just an assassin. He just happened to kill guys that were other bad guys, like he'd go kill dictators and things like that. Me and a friend had a discussion about how the Punisher made money, because he has a bullets aren't cheap, you know, he has the van, he has the tech. I mean, the weapons alone would have to run a pretty steep budget, and I had this idea that he probably did assassinations in South America, and he would probably just kill guys that were clearly bad guys, just to have pocket cash to keep his operations going.
Frank Castle, A-Team.
Yes, like I told Victor, that was upset I saw on Marvel's Facebook page a poll saying, who would you trust more, Daredevil or the Punisher? For some reason, it made me mad that a lot of people were like, the Punisher, yeah.
Why would you trust the Punisher? I mean, what are you trusting him to do? I mean, like, if I gave him a gun and I was telling him to shoot me if I turned into a zombie, yeah, I'll trust the Punisher.
He was going to shoot Archie from the Archie comics.
Oh, can you blame him? Did you read those Christian comics? Archie's a bigot.
If the Punisher were saying that with Foggy Nelson, Foggy Nelson would be dead.
Do what now?
The Punisher was hanging out with Foggy Nelson, he would be dead.
Yeah. Eric, have you seen the 2007 Turtles movie?
I think I've seen very brief clips of it in TV. I've seen the first 20 minutes. I've seen that.
I watched it last night. And I did a little mini-review on Facebook, but I thought it was bordering on being a great movie.
Cool.
Like, even on its own merits, not as just a Turtles movie. And, like, the first movie captured the early Turtles comics with Shredder and the Foot Clan. I thought that movie captured, remember how in the old Turtles comics, in, like, the black and white ones, they fight dinosaur men and go back in time?
Yes, sir.
The movie really captured that. It really captured those comics. And I liked how Raphael was going around as this guy called the Night Watcher. And Casey Jones figured out who he was, and he said, it's that obvious, huh? And Casey said, well, you do look like a big metal turtle.
One of the questions that someone brought up one time is that, how did such a smaller company able to get up the rights of such a hot property like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in the late 80s, early 90s, instead of like a big group like Warner Brothers or Fox?
When was this?
Well, who was the company? It was like Golden Harvest got it?
Okay, what happened was that they probably bought the rights back in 87.
Oh, okay, when it was a little cheaper.
Yeah, it was still, they had just, Eastman and Laird had just signed with a licensing company, and they were trying to find a toy company, and a lot of toy companies didn't want to take a risk on an indie comic. They found a startup in California called Playmates, and they said, we'll do it, but you need to get a cartoon deal first, because back then that was just a standard procedure.
You can't sell toys without a cartoon based off of it.
So they got the cartoon set up, and I'm guessing that's probably, if I had to make a guess, that's probably when they sold the movie rights.
Okay, and it just got distribution through New Line.
And New Line's owned by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember hearing that movie was like number one independent movie of all time, and that's pretty strange.
Yeah, it's still up there.
Was New Line owned by Warner Brothers back in the early 90s or no?
No.
I thought they were.
No. Wasn't New Line owned by Ted Turner in the early 90s?
Might have been. I don't know.
Or he had a stake in it. There's an interesting story involving Turtles that's connected to the Toxic Avenger. The Toxic Crusaders cartoon started in 1990 because it was like Turtles. And even Playmates was even doing the toys. And the toy line was compatible with the Turtles line.
But it also owned by Playmates.
Yeah. New Line Cinema bought the rights to Toxic Crusaders to make a movie. And the reason they bought the rights was that they were trying to get leverage against the Eastman and Laird for the Turtles. Trying to say, hey, we have other mutant freaks. We'll just make a movie about them. Turtles, they ended up making a deal with Eastman and Laird to get more Turtles movies done, and then they did make the Toxic Crusaders movie, which led to Trauma suing New Line. And they won. Actually, I like the fact that one of the Toxic Crusaders characters showed up in this Trauma comic, and he was mentioning something about being in a porn movie, and he was like, I don't care, was it that porn movie I did? Please, I haven't worked in 18 years. The one that sneezes?
Yeah.
With the pilot's hat?
Yeah.
Man, we're really going off topic today.
It's off topic today. That was a strange cartoon all of a sudden, Toxic Crusaders, based on an old cheap movie from like 20 years before.
So basically a trauma movie that no kid would ever see, except maybe at certain hasty rental shops and they're rated R, just like doing a RoboCop or a Rambo cartoon.
I saw it on USA up all night.
It didn't seem to have good time slots here in New York. It seemed like it was on at like 7:30 a.m., like before the real Saturday morning cartoon started. Really get the peak time slots over here.
At least that's better than getting like 5:30 a.m. on Sundays, like Dragon Warrior did.
Over here it was on Saturday mornings at 5:30.
Oh, it's different in some places.
Well, no, we live in the same town.
Well, I'm in other places. Like, I was only able to see Dragon Warrior when I went up to Nashville.
I would watch it before the between the Farmer Port and Muppet Babies.
Anyway, about those turtles. Why is it that the transmutagen and all the changes seem to be so easy to fix when it's not involving turtles? Like, Matt Fuller can't turn back to Yoshi; it just somehow miraculously turns him back to Splinter. April O'Neil gets turned into like a cat monster, and in the end of the episode, she's miraculously back to being human.
That was a mutagen.
Yeah, but it didn't even show her being changed back. It didn't even show, like, Donnie, like, putting stuff together and shooting her with a beam with the cat that she merged with.
You're forgetting about the thing with the cat thing. There's a cat walking around that looks like April.
Yeah, and then, and the episode, you don't even see the cat anymore except for that one scene. And she's miraculously back. They don't even say, it's like, well, it's a good thing we got that cat back and changed it back. It's like, she's back to normal. We defeated Shredder. She's instantly been cured.
Mo, what I don't understand is, you know what I don't understand? When my face got crushed, why did it turn back to the way my face used to be? Shouldn't I have had a third new face?
Oh, I'm not getting senses into this. We already talked about enough Konami games.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk about any video games. I'm playing the Konami game that they did for the 2003 show.
On Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm kind of frustrated by the motorcycle level. Oh, and speaking of cheap-ass companies getting licenses, how did 4Kids get the Turtles license?
I think at that point it was cheap because no one really wanted it. You know, after Next Mutation tainted the salt of the earth, I don't think anyone wanted it anymore.
A lot of people praised the 2003 show. Eric, have you ever seen it?
I've seen a couple episodes. I mean, obviously, I've seen Charles Forever. Because usually during that period, I was not awake on Saturday morning, so I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Before a lot of these cartoon channels started playing them later, like.
Turtles Forever left a very bad taste in my mouth. So I never ended up actually trying to watch it. And the people I think the writing's probably good, but I think Neil said, what did you say about it yesterday, Neil, about the later seasons?
Well, what it was, I looked at people, what they said about, like, beginning parts are good. Like, beginning episodes up to a certain point, like, I think, like, season two or something, they're good because they're trying to match the old Mirage comics in terms of feel and story and characterizations. Then they tried to do the fancy stuff like Flash Forward and all this other stuff, and they said it went really downhill.
Yeah, what was the term you used, or I used?
That's from Family Guy. It insists upon itself.
Yeah, it seemed like the show was kind of a cartoon based on the first movie.
It felt like it, and the dumb thing was in Turtles Forever, I love the fact that they were trying to bury the old 87 cartoon, yet their company is so damn cheap that they couldn't afford to get any of the voice actors because they work for union scale.
Yeah, I heard that.
And also, the BGM was really kind of chintzy on it. I don't even know what that means, but something. Yeah, it's not very good. It's not too hot. When you compare it to the BGM.
Oh, you mean you're gonna do the 87 moments? It's always.
Oh, I mean, the 87 series had really. It's like they're going do to do. And if anybody watched the old 87 series, you know that show had really good music.
Is it like what you said about when they have Bruce Falconer and then they have that other guy for GT and it's very, really terrible music?
Oh, DBZ, yeah. Bruce Falconer is okay at doing background music for DBZ because he just rips off the guy that did the music for Bloodsport Kickboxer. He just heavily plagiarizes it, so he's cool. And it makes him like other Dragon Ball composers. The other guy, Mark Benson, basically has three notes. Down, bow, bow, bow! Ow! That's it. It's awful. I guess the show's about to wrap up. I can't believe how fast these 30 minutes are going by.
Yeah. Speaking of good music, it's the people who did the old Konami games. Some of those people, they did a lot of arcade games, and they're still around at Konami, right, even to this day.
Eric, I'm not quite sure what we're going to be doing next week on the show. I'm planning on doing an X-Men show soon, like down the road, but I would like to finish my Essential Volume 10 first and watch some more of the cartoon.
Have the cartoon on? Is it on Netflix?
They have all the cartoons on Netflix.
Yes, I must be in that show and do impressions of all the voices.
Okay,
especially
Well, if you want to, next week we might just have a free chat talking about Punisher and shit like that. Maybe skip the Spider-Man discussion in. Eric, you know who did Punisher on the 90s Spider-Man cartoon?
Yeah, I know. I know who it is.
John Beck.
Yeah.
He was really good. He's like the best Punisher I've ever heard.
That's what happened to him.
Yeah,
and he's
10 years
to find him.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name was in Dallas.
Mark Grayson,
that's it. Because I was like, okay, Mark Grayson sounds like. And I try to remember. It's like, okay, sounds like somebody from Batman.
Yeah. And Aunt May, was voiced by someone whose name sounded like Linda Gray, but it wasn't. I remember.
Yeah.
She was voiced by someone. A similar name.
Actually,
and
if you got rid of the mustache,
it was Linda Gray for 5 seconds.
If you got rid of the mustache back in the 80s, he would have been a very good live action Punisher.
Yeah, I can't see Punisher with a mustache.
Yeah, like if he got rid of the mustache, it's like he could have pulled it off. Now I don't know. It seems like they don't really make really ugly guys. Like Ken Shamrock could have pulled it off. He could act. If he was an actor, if he was any type of actor, he could pull it off visually.
Oh, yeah, speaking of, Kevin Nash played Super Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of Ooze, and he was the Russian from the 2003 Punisher movie.
Huh, what a crossover. We're about to go off. Go to horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com for the Dual Devil Loose Ends Weekend Edition. That'll be today. Time's up for Dreadwatch. The new Horsepower story started today. It'll be back on Monday. And we have about 17 seconds left. Eric, are you promoting any projects? Eric's gone. Bill, are you promoting anything?
Nope. I'm pretty useless with promotion.